Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 23rd of March, recording at 5:45 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. A little earlier than usual, but I've got an opera tonight. I trust you'll forgive me for this early broadcast. But I think we've got a grip on most of what's going on here today. First in global stock markets. Well, let me start the Friday long-term big picture audio with a quick review of the week as I usually do. This is the week in which global stock markets rebounded. Government bond prices came down a little bit. Yields edged up, in other words, against the background of the more stable action in stock markets. And crude oil prices rebounded after a little bit of a dip. And the dollar weakened, although it's slightly steadier today. Precious metals were strong, although they're down today. Coffee has rebounded after a period of weakness. Grains and beans, it's a little bit mixed. In that oil complex, incidentally, natural gas is picking up, and gasoline is the strongest sector. It's led all the way. Okay, where are we? What's going on here? Well, I maintain, as I've been saying recently, that the technical evidence suggests that global stock markets have seen nothing more than a larger reaction. It was an emotional spasm triggered by that OMG moment when we saw China come down so much on the 27th of February. That led to 5 days of heavy selling, and subsequently markets steadied, blinked, tested their lows, and have rallied back up. And that suggests that we saw quite important lows in early March. And provided those lows are not taken out, then I would regard this as no more, as I say, than a somewhat larger reaction and longer ranging phase as part of the reversion to the mean in terms of the 200-day moving averages best seen on the weekly charts that I have been talking about and illustrating for several months. Now, what about thereafter? Well, a lot of people are saying that that ushered in a new period of rising volatility and that markets will be quite tricky. Well, maybe, but maybe not. And I do notice that the VIX index has fallen right back down. So there was such a convulsion of fear triggered by the 27th February that, excuse me, it really has cleared the air for a while now. And the main areas of potential problems, central bank tightening, rising long-dated government bond yields, surging oil prices, these are not problems in here today. And so we are still left with an environment where there's probably enough liquidity sloshing around in the system to keep these markets relatively steady. There's enough GDP growth in the pipeline to keep the synchronized global economic expansion on track. And if the subprime situation does cause the U.S. economy to move into recession, excuse me, so sorry about that, but if the subprime problem does cause the U.S. economy to move into recession, it will be certainly doing it against the background, the unusual background of a stronger global economy, which of course helps to support the U.S. economy, and it will be doing it without the the kiting of long-dated government bond yields or the spike in energy prices that have accompanied so many previous recessions. And it would also be causing a recession against what has got to be the most widely anticipated and understood economic problem, really in, well, I was going to say in living memory, that would be an exaggeration, but certainly in recent memory. And I just don't think that's going to happen, but we will see, as they said. Now, the reaction that we have seen to date, I think that it will continue for a while longer. In other words, I don't expect all stock markets to go exploding up through the upside. But that said, I will say that having had the lows in early March and having seen those lows retested and then seeing the significant bounce to the upper side of trading ranges for most stock market indices. The path of least resistance, I believe, is to the upside. Now, what are the big themes in here? Well, pretty well all markets are performing in this environment, but I think that the resources sector is really, well, if it isn't roaring back, it is certainly coming up quickly here in the performance tables. And that, I think, is really quite important. And you know, we've talked about BHP Billiton and Rio for so long. We've talked about MLW on a number of occasions. MLW is up in new all-time high ground. And BHP Billiton has pushed above, I think as of today, it pushed above its high that it had seen just before that shakeout on the 27th. It's well off its all-time high, but that was the accelerated peak last May. And accelerated peaks of that type lead to lengthy medium-term consolidations. I believe we've completed those lengthy medium-term consolidations, and that this then that these shares will be pushing higher. I think the whole complex will push higher. Now, I also think that China's performance is impressive. And yes, the region is expensive, but if any stock market is under the influence of its central government control and ability to, in terms of their ability to actually influence the trend for that stock market, I believe that is China. And China wants a strong market. We can gauge that from what officials said on the 27th of February and the day afterwards. You might recall they said the sell-off was an overreaction, and then another official came out and said that China would be well into new high ground well before the end of the year. Well, he was certainly right about that. And I'll give the chart the benefit of the doubt until I see otherwise. And meanwhile, my long-term script for China is that we would have a strong stock market ever since that important low back in the summer of 2005, that we would have a strong stock market running through at least the 2008 Olympics. And I think the Asian region as a whole is likely to do extremely well. So I'm afraid I'm disappointing those who want me to jump and switch and move around the various different sectors here, but I see the best potential in those two areas, industrial resources and also Asian emerging growth. That doesn't mean that there isn't other emerging country growth around the globe. Of course there is, but I think the Asian growth is some of the best, some of the safest, some of the most reliable. And we have a global squeeze on resources, and I think that's not only going to continue, but I think that it will get worse before it gets better. That means higher prices more often than not, but those prices will be volatile. You know, when nickel hits $50,000, there were a lot of people who thought it was pretty outrageously expensive when it was at $15,000. When it hits $50,000, you know, it's susceptible to a bigger correction, which perhaps we're going to see, although that's not a certainty at this stage either. Most other industrial metals remain quite firm, and the precious metal sector is also quite firm. And then the oil price is really quite firm. Now, if you want to know where the troubles lie ahead, it will be that inflationary pressures, probably led by surging commodity prices, will build up. Will that be by mid-year? Well, I doubt it. Will it be towards the end of the year? Possibly. Will it be at some time in 2008? This we don't know. But I think it will happen. And at some point, we will see those long-dated government bond yields start to move up really quite rapidly. And when that takes place, then we will be in real danger of the next global bear market. Now, the dates that I have penciled in for that and mentioned on a number of occasions are 2009, 2010 at the earliest. That's just a guess, of course, and we can monitor developments, fortunately, every day along the way. But I don't think we'll see that global bear market until we get another big spike in crude oil prices, and even more importantly, a big spike in long-dated government bond yields around the globe. And when that starts to happen, we should not have any trouble seeing it, and we will know how to protect our investment positions. Meanwhile, I'm backing the bull scenario. Government bonds don't interest me, other than as the canary in the coal mine that we need to keep a close eye on. It's still chirping away reasonably contentedly. Moving on to the U.S. dollar, if any country needs a soft currency, any major country that is, it is the U.S. I think that maybe we got a little bit short-term oversold in the U.S. dollar following the Wednesday sharp downward move when people assumed that U.S. interest rate cuts are imminent. I do not feel that U.S. interest rate cuts are imminent. As you know, I think Bernanke will hold off as long as he can. And I think Bernanke at this stage isn't sure whether his next move on interest rates will be a hike or a cut, but he's in a position to do either as circumstances dictate. But I think we'll see rates on hold. So I think the dollar is technically a wee bit oversold, but we're not going to see much of a rally. I don't think we'll get more than a dead cat bounce. And then I think the dollar will stay generally soft overall. That should be a favorable background, really, for precious metals, which have a lot more going for them as well, not least the supply and elasticity meets rising demand theme. And a lot of that demand is coming from Asia. You see how this resources theme ties in so clearly with Asia's burgeoning growth and the rapid development of large middle classes in so many of those countries. Okay, going on to the agricultural commodities. Well, demand is increasing. Now, that's a given. That's been the case for really quite some time. For some commodities, we are seeing demand rise more strongly than we have seen for quite a while. That is a byproduct of the synchronized global economic growth phase and all the wealth creation that is being generated in developing countries in addition to developed countries. So that increases consumption for all commodities. Now, the key variable, though, with the agricultural commodities is inevitably going to be the supply, and that is subject to the vagaries of weather. And that I'm not going to attempt to predict, but we have lost the cushion in most instances, not all, but in most instances, of the large stockpile reserves, holdover stockpile reserves, in other words, global production excess to actual needs, much of which was subsidized by governments. But those have been whittled away. So any problems in terms of global weather, any weather scares or crop cycle scares, I should say, and we will see prices spike, which would cause more problems for central banks in terms of it would help to usher in or usher back the return of an inflationary psychology among investors. So there are problems that lie ahead of us in all probability, but we don't need to lose any sleep over those problems today, is my conclusion, and perhaps not for the rest of this year. But we need to monitor these situations, and they will also, of course, those problems, I'm talking about problems for stock markets, but they will also create trading opportunities and other investment opportunities. And Owen and I really look forward to analyzing this for you and with you. Thank you so much for all of your interesting emails, comments, and reports that you send in. We really couldn't do what we do without you. And thanks very much. Have a fabulous weekend. All the best.